Children in today's society could well be dubbed Generation RX. From antibiotics to antidepressants, doctors today have an ever-expanding arsenal of prescription drugs to combat a vast array of childhood illnesses. But only a fraction of those drugs have actually been tested on children. While the Food and Drug Administration has long required that drug companies screen medications for safety in adults, it does not require similar tests on children. So doctors improvise, prescribing drugs intended for adults and adjusting the dosages for smaller bodies. Dr. Jerome Groopman writes about this in the New Yorker magazine in an article called The Pediatric Gap. He says finding the right dosages isn't easy.
The danger is to imagine a child as a, quote, little adult, meaning simply to adjust the dose based on the child's weight. Children are developing. Their livers change, their kidneys change, their skin changes, their lungs change. And the way drugs are absorbed into the body, broken down in the body, excreted from the body, does not necessarily depend on weight. So you can, in fact, harm a child if you don't adjust for the metabolism of a child and simply adjust by weight.
Doctor, can you give us a specific example or two of drugs that have proven to be safe for adults but are very harmful for children if not given very carefully?
Well, there's one example in the article, a drug called propofol, which is a sedative. It's an excellent sedative in adults because it has a very rapid, what's called on-off. It puts you to sleep, you don't feel the pain, and then you quickly wake up. In the 1990s, the drug began to be used quite widely in pediatric intensive care units for sedation. And then there were reports of deaths. And it turns out that propofol is metabolized differently in children than in adults. It causes a buildup of acid in the bloodstream, and this can be fatal in children.
The drug maker in that case, AstraZeneca, actually sent out a warning letter to physicians. But the drug still remains on the market, and it's still legal for doctors to administer this drug to children. Are there lessons to be learned in this case?
I think the lesson to be learned is that we should be doing this in advance. The process of surveillance once a drug is approved for market in the United States is passive. And it's not really the fault of the FDA. It's the absence of effective legislation and structure in the country, in the U.S. So what you basically have to do is rely upon very busy pediatricians to fill out forms and recognize that a side effect has occurred in a child.
Congress has actually taken this issue up, and there is existing legislation that attempts to encourage drug makers to conduct more of these tests on children. How does that actually work?
Well, the legislation comes in the form of a carrot and a stick. The carrot is an incentive for the drug companies to test new drugs in children. If they do such testing, then they benefit by being given a six-month extension in market exclusivity, essentially a monopoly in the marketplace for their new drug. And in some instances, that can translate into hundreds of millions of dollars of added profit. If the drug companies don't do that, then the FDA can take the initiative and require them to do it. That's the stick, and it's called the pediatric rule. The problem is, in the minds of many pediatric researchers, the quality of the studies being done by the drug companies is not very good. It does not give the kind of comprehensive, in-depth information that practicing pediatricians need in order to use the drug in the best possible way.
Doctor, you note in your article that at one time, testing drugs on children was a priority. Sick children were often the first to receive the latest treatments throughout the 50s and the 1960s. What changed?
I think several things changed. One is that the drug companies, understandably, they are not a charitable group, became focused on very large markets. They want the next Lipitor. Billion, multi-billion dollar drugs. The numbers of children with any particular disease is much smaller than adults. So the system shifted away from children. There's also the issue of malpractice and injury. So there are these huge settlements that come out of litigation. So the drug companies are very worried about developing drugs in children because if there is an adverse event, they may be liable.
So if you're a parent and you have a sick child, how do you know if the medicine being prescribed for your child is actually being prescribed off-label, if it's intended for adults and has not been tested in children?
I think you need to ask. And the pediatricians whom I interviewed for the article, and almost everyone I've ever met in pediatrics, is extremely honest and dedicated. So I think a parent should say, is this an off-label use, or has this drug actually been approved for children? And if the answer is it's off-label, meaning there isn't this database that has led to FDA approval specifically for children, then the next question needs to be, how much do you know about how to dose this correctly for my child, not simply based on weight, but on his or her medical condition and age?
Dr. Groopman, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Dr. Jerome Groopman was speaking to us about his article in the January 10th issue of The New Yorker called The Pediatric Gap: Why Have Most Medications Never Been Properly Tested on Kids?